Loving God, open our hearts to hear your word. Set our hearts on fire with love for you. Stir our hearts to do your work in the world. Amen.
Amen.
When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them. And a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Y'all, the Holy Spirit is weird. Confusing. Mysterious. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be in that house? The disciples gathered together, still confused. Unsure, shaken. They were no longer grieving, mostly. It had been 50 days since that strange weekend, that surreal handful of days when Jesus had been executed, buried. And somehow, miraculously, he had come back to life, risen from the grave. Defeated death. And it had been 10 days since Jesus left again. This time he just rose up, ascended into the sky. He promised that he would still be with them, in spirit rather than physically present. He also promised that he would send someone, an advocate, to strengthen and sustain them, to support them as they tried to continue living the lives he had taught them to live. But it had been 10 days, and still there was no sign of anything new. 10 days of wondering, waiting. It was just long enough that perhaps doubt was beginning to creep in. Would someone come? Had Jesus really come back? Or was it all some grief-stricken fever dream they'd shared? What now? What next? Then, the wind, and then the fire, and then the Holy Spirit moved among them, moved in their hearts, moved in the world. The disciples suddenly discovered they had the power to speak in a multitude of languages. Languages they couldn't begin to understand when they got up that morning. Languages they'd never even heard of. But suddenly they were fluent. When Jesus said he was sending them an advocate, they had expected a person. But this spirit was so much more. The uncontrollable, untamable power of wind, of fire. How thrilling that day must have been. How frightening. When the crowds are confused, what happened to these men from Galilee? How could they suddenly, boldly speak new languages? Were they really just drunk? Peter, for once seeing things clearly, stood up and said, "No, no, we're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." We are living embodiments of what God promised in Jesus, in the prophets of old. "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young shall see visions, and your old shall dream dreams." This spirit, this day was what they had been waiting for. This spirit, this day was what emboldened them, empowered them to spread the good news of God in Christ throughout the known world. Today we celebrate this spirit, this day, as the birth of the church. When somehow we made the quantum leap from being a small group of Jesus' friends and followers to a community of believers sharing the story of Jesus around the world. But it didn't stop on that day, in that moment. God didn't pour out the Spirit on all flesh on the day of Pentecost, and then, well, the pitcher of the Spirit was empty, so it went back in the cupboard. No. The Spirit is being poured on us, through us, on each and every child of God, on all of creation at every moment of every day. It is the wind that shakes us from our complacency, urging us to get up and follow Jesus, to work to reshape the world in God's image. It is the tongue of flame, the licking of fire that burns in our hearts and on our lips. The love of God that stirs in us the passion of the gospel. The refining fire that burns our flesh and our souls, searing away our sin, our shame, our fear. The Spirit is the inner strength, the core of steel, the knowledge of God's presence that allows us to face down our greatest challenges, our injuries, our doubts, to look death in the eye and say with confidence, "You shall never have the final word." This is the Spirit, the wind, the fire that are constantly being poured out and renewed in all of us. The question is, what will we do with that wind, that fire, that Spirit? How will we use it to live gospel lives? How will we be emboldened to share the good news of what God is up to in our hearts and in our lives? How will we be challenged and strengthened to feed the hungry, clothe those in need, comfort the sorrowful? Those of you who got up bright and early yesterday morning, to watch the royal wedding, were treated to a powerful sermon from our presiding bishop, Michael Curry. He talked with great passion about the power of love, the love we share with one another, and the love of God to change the world. And near the end, he referenced the French Jesuit, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a scientist, mystic, monk, philosopher, and one of the great theologians of the 20th century. In his book, Toward the Future, de Chardin wrote, "The day will come when, after harnessing space, the winds, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And on that day, for the second time in the history of the world, we shall have discovered fire." Friends, we don't have to look far to find that fire. It's already here, within us, among us, ready to be tapped into, unleashed. So what are we waiting for? The Spirit is weird and wild and wonderful, constantly revealing God to us in new ways, challenging us to see the world with new eyes, eyes of compassion and love, with hands eager to help. So how will you be moved by the Spirit this week? What is one concrete thing that you can commit to do to share God's love with someone who needs it? The wind, the fire, the power of the Holy Spirit are already in us. We simply have to be willing to be guided by them, to step out in faith as we walk following Jesus. Amen.